Blog Talk Radio.
For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilder, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to, first of all, take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. So at this time, you can also call in your prayer requests at that same number, 319-527-6204. To God be the glory. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here by Francesca. Praise God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come you
If you know you're going high in Jesus, I know I am. Come on, listen. Set up.
God, I can't wait till I get up there. Let us pray. El Elyon, which means the Most High God. I give you praise. I praise you in your sanctuary. I praise you in your mighty expanse. I praise you for your awesome deeds according to your excellent greatness. I praise you with music, songs, and words of admiration. My soul makes it boast in you, El Elyon. I bless your name today, and I will forget none of your benefits. You hold the power in your hand to keep the flames of life's trials from scorching me. You have the power to save. I will not fear what man can do, because you are El Elyon, the Most High God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. To God be the glory. At this time, I will play another inspirational selection.
I am the one who spoke into nothing, and all creation heard. I am he who has all power in my hand. And if you believe on my word, you can stand. I am the one whose name is a tower where you can run and hide. I am he who has all power in my hand. And if you believe on my word,
let me be.
who I am to you. And consider when God speaks to Sarah at 90 years old and tells her she's about to give birth to a baby, she laughs. But God responds and says, is anything too hard for me? And some of y'all have situations that look like they can't be fixed, but you have to understand that when I am is in the picture, anything is possible. I need you to look at somebody and say, anything is possible. So God says, no matter what it looks like, God says, you're overwhelmed. But body's rocking with pain, but I am. Look at somebody and say, God says, and say, God says,
I am.
Look at somebody else and say, God says,
I am.
Somebody needs to know that God says,
I am.
I am. One more time, y'all. Tell them who he is. He says,
I am.
I know the numbers are bigger than you, but one more time, say, God says,
I am.
Just lean on him because
I am.
You can live here.
I am.
Amen. Praise be to God. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. El Elyon, Elohim,
Jehovah.
Teach me to love like you. Teach me to walk in your strength and might. Your spirit lives within me, your child, and I can access your strength through your spirit's presence. I'm not always strong, especially in the face of health crisis or financial issues or difficult relationships, but you are mighty. So I ask you to intervene in my thoughts, my heart, and my mind when these situations arise so I can fully manifest your might and power in my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
This is the beginning.
to God. And now it is time for our devotional message. Amen. Which is entitled The Relationship of Faith. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. And it says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Through years of walking with God, Abraham developed the ability to see beyond his immediate challenges to the Lord who had great plans for him. He knew God could overcome any obstacle. So when the Lord commanded Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac on the altar, Abraham did not complain or cowered in fear. He trusted that the Lord had important purposes for the request. Abraham believed God that he would accomplish everything he had promised in Genesis 15 and verse 6. In Abraham's life, we see two things that are essential to living a faith-motivated life. First, we must believe that God exists, that he is real, true, and trustworthy. And second, we must believe that he is faithful to do what he promised us. Through our intimate relationship with him, we are fully convinced of his holy and loving character, that he acts only for our good. You have been trying to work up your faith and have failed. It may be because you are building it on the wrong foundation. Faith is not a goal you can work to achieve. It comes as you relate to God personally and see who he is. So grow your faith, know him, and believe. Amen. I hope and pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is to me. In Jesus' name, amen. So let us pray. Jesus, I believe you. Help me to know and love you more. In your name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And that is our devotional message for this evening. Praise be to God. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen? So in the meantime, I will play another selection. Praise be to God.
On hold, but she heard about a man called Jesus who could perform miracles. So she started crawling through the crowd on her hands and knees. She caught on to his garment. Then he said, "Somebody touch me." Jesus could feel the healing start to flow. Then he looked at this woman and said, "Your faith has made you whole. Hold on.
Hold on to the hem
of his garment. All you need is a little faith to receive his saving grace. Hold on. Don't let Jesus pass you by. He'll make everything alright. Oh yes, my. All you gotta do is hold on,
hold on to the hem of his garment.
Doesn't matter what you're going through. No, you just reach out and hold on.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
He will make a way for you. Hold on.
Hold on.
Hold on
to the hem of his garment.
Don't let Jesus go.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
Strong and mighty he will show. Yes, it will. All you gotta do is hold on to Jesus.
Hold on,
yeah,
to the hem of his garment.
Hold on to Jesus.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
He will make a way for you.
Hold on,
oh, yes,
to the hem of his garment.
And I know he will see it through.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
You see, he's a mighty good God. Oh, yes,
hold
he is.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
Whoa.
Amen. Praise be to God. Hold on to the hem of his garment. Dear Lord, you speak to me through the Bible, through teachers, and through friends. And Father, you speak to me through that still, small voice that warns me when I stray from your will. In these quiet moments and throughout the day, show me your plan for my life, Lord, that I might serve you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. I live for you.
long as you're here, I'm not afraid. I bless your name. I have said the Lord always before me. I bless your name. Your name. Come on, let's take it higher.
I'll live for you.
I'll live for you.
I'll die in you.
For I have said the Lord always before me. Because you're on my right hand, I shall not be moved. I bless your name. The Lord with me, somebody. Forever we love you. Forever we live to worship you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus.
I live for you.
Dear Lord, give me wisdom and perspective. Guide me according to your plans for my life and according to your commandments. Keep me mindful, dear Lord, that your truth is and will forever be the ultimate truth. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. and amen. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord God.
Played it a million times, but still it escapes my mind. The grace you've shown towards me, I just can't believe how you never turned away when I pushed you far away. You're the light that breathes through me. Now I've been set free. Follow me, I still can't believe how you never let me go, how you never lost your hope. You keep proving your love to me.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 45, and we are going to read verses 1 through 13. Amen? And I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and it says, Joseph could stand it no longer. There were many people in the room, and he said to his attendants, out, all of you. So he was alone with his brothers when he told them who he was. Then he broke down and wept so loudly the Egyptians could hear him. And word of it quickly carried to Pharaoh's palace. I am Joseph, he said to his brothers. Is my father still alive? But his brothers were speechless. They were stunned to realize that Joseph was standing there in front of them. "Please come closer," he said to them. So they came closer, and he said again, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into slavery in Egypt. But don't be upset and don't be angry with yourselves for selling me to this place. It was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your lives. This famine that has ravaged the land for 2 years will last 5 more years, and there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. God has sent me ahead of you to keep you and your families alive and to preserve many survivors. So it was God who sent me here, not you, and he is the one who made me an advisor to Pharaoh, the manager of his entire palace, and the governor of all of Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and tell him, this is what your son Joseph says. God has made me master over all the land of Egypt. So come to me immediately. You can live in the region of Goshen, where you can be near me with all your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds, and everything you own. I will take care of you there, for there are still 5 years of famine ahead of us. Otherwise, you, your household, and all your animals will starve. Then Joseph added, look, you can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that I really am Joseph. Go tell my father of my honor and position here in Egypt. Describe for him everything you have seen, and then bring my father here quickly. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for our families. We want them to be healthy. We want them to bring joy to our lives, strength to our church, and glory to you. We know that sometimes we fail to obey you and thereby open our families to evil influences and dangerous temptation. We know there are enemies of the family that can destroy the vitality of our homes. We ask you to protect our families from evil and to place a wall of protection around us. May we be willing to live within your will and purpose for our homes. The offerings we give now are the sheer expression of our love and obedience to you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. My text for this message is coming from Genesis 45:5. In the NIV, and it says, do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. Praise God. One more story remains in this series from the life of Joseph. Events move rapidly after the cupbearer finally told Pharaoh about the prisoner who had such wonderful abilities because of this of his God. Pharaoh called on Joseph to interpret his dream. Soon the Hebrew boy was made prime minister of the land, second only to the king himself. Later, his brothers came to Egypt to buy grain during the famine. For a short time, Joseph played cat and mouse with them. But at last, he revealed himself to them. One of the noblest statements in God's word is Joseph addressing to his brothers. Not only did he forgive them for what they had done, but he went so far as to say that God was actually using them in his plan when they sold him as a slave. Of course, Joseph's forgiveness did not lessen their guilt, but it may have diminished their fears of his possible revenge. Let's consider several truths from this story. God has his own way of doing things. God knew exactly when to bring Joseph out of the dungeon. Often we do not have nearly as much of a problem with God's will as we do with him, with his timetable. We want him to act on our schedule, not his. God sent the dream to Pharaoh at exactly the right time for Joseph to step in and interpret it. How much better off we all would be if we simply trusted God to open doors for us. Our scheming often gets us into trouble because it can land us in places where God does not intend for us to be. That doesn't mean we should never put forth any human effort, but it does mean we should be cautious, accepting God's leadership and realizing that he will cause things to happen to us and for us at that time. He knows it's best. Sin haunts us constantly. Notice how the brothers said to each other while they were in Egypt buying grain, "Surely we are being punished because of our brother." We saw how distressed he was when he pleaded with us for his life, but we would not listen. That's why this distress has come on us, Genesis 42 and 21 in the NIV. Many years had passed since the brothers had sold Joseph into slavery, but their conscience were awakened when Joseph acted harshly with their youngest brother, Benjamin. Likely, this was not the only time over the years that they had recalled their terrible treatment of Joseph. Amen? Forgiveness is Christ-like. The heart of the gospel is the merciful love of our Heavenly Father. In Jesus Christ, he sets us free from both the guilt and power of sin. Paul said in Romans 5, 7 through 8 in the NIV, "Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die." But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the ultimate in forgiveness. Joseph did not retaliate against his brothers merely because he did not want to hurt his father. Yet years later, when Jacob died, the brothers became frightened. They came to Joseph afraid that he would seek revenge. Once more, they begged for forgiveness. Joseph wept as he said to them in Genesis 50 and 19 in the NIV, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God?" He repeated many of the same things he had told them when he first revealed himself to them. They had meant harm to him, but God meant it for good. He assured them that he would continue to provide for them and their children. Amen. Praise be to God. And my conclusion is this. How do you handle your desires for revenge? Even though all of us have sinned against other people, perhaps all of us have also had times when someone had sinned against us. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and 7, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Someone described revenge as the costliest morsel that has ever been cooked up in hell. While someone else called forgiveness the odor which a flower yields when trampled upon, Charles Spurgeon once said, "Cultivate forbearance until your heart yields a fine crop of it. Pray for a short memory as to all unkindness." I hope and pray that this message was a blessing to you as it is to me. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is to repeat this prayer of salvation after me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. I need a Savior. Save me, Jesus. So now by faith, I declare that I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. And if you have believed that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of God. And the next thing you have to do is to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you to a good Bible-based church to further your Christian walk with Christ. Amen? Praise God. At this time, I will play a selection, and after the selection, I will come back with a word from the Lord.
You might be in a place in your life where all you see is the color gray, and the future looks dark and dreary. It's just like a dark cloud came over the earth and covered the land with fog. But there's one thing I want you to know. The Bible says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And it was good. Let me tell you about it.
There were many times in my life when I felt like I was all by myself, and I needed an answer from the Lord. There were many times when I had nobody to turn to, but the Lord. So I decided to give him a try. I had to call on him.
Call on him.
Pleaded with the Lord to heal.
Call on him.
Down on my knees, I called on him. Hey.
Call on
All
him.
All of a sudden, I heard a voice singing deep down inside. Trials and tribulations, and your heavy laden burden. Jesus said, cast your cares upon me, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You might feel like you're being tried, just trying to stand the test of time. But let me tell you one thing, the God I serve is able to do all things exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask and think, according to the power of his riches and glory that work in us. All you have to do is make Jesus Lord of your life. Come on, let's pray about it. All you gotta do is call on him.
Call on him.
Sometimes you gotta call on him. Hey!
Call on him.
Pleading, the Lord will hear your cry.
Call on him.
You gotta call him. And hear his voice. Speaking way deep down inside, he's saying,
darkness
may come in the night, but you don't have to worry,
but
Now, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 19, and we're going to read verses 17 through 27. Praise God. Amen. That's the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verses 17 through 27. And I am reading from the New Living Translation. And verse 17 says, carrying the cross by himself, he went to the place called of He went to the place called Place of the Skull in Hebrews, Golgotha. Amen. 18. There they nailed him to the cross. Two others were crucified with him, one on either side, with Jesus between them. And Pilate posted a sign on the cross that read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. The place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek, so that many people could read it. Then the leading priest object and said to Pilate, change it from the King of the Jews to he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate replied, no, what I have written, I have written. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they divided his clothes among the four of them. They also took his robe, but it was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said, rather than tearing it apart, let's throw dice for it. This fulfilled the scripture that says, they divided my garments among themselves and threw dice for my clothing. So that is what they did. Verse 25. Standing near the cross where Jesus' mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciple he loved, he said to her, dear woman, here is your son. And he said to this disciple, here is your mother. And from then on, this disciple took her into his home. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the hearing, doing of his mighty word. So here in these verses, even while dying on the cross, Jesus was concerned about his family. He instructed John to care for Mary, Jesus' mother. Our families are precious gifts from God, and we should value and care for them under all circumstances. Neither Christian work nor key responsibility in any job or position excuse us from caring for our families. What can you do today to show your love to your family? Jesus asked his close friend John, the writer of this gospel, to care for Jesus' mother, Mary, whose husband Joseph must have been dead by this time. So why didn't Jesus assign this task to his brothers? As the oldest son, Jesus entrusted his mother to a person who stayed with him at the cross, and that was John. Praise be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Christianity began with a group of men gathered by Jesus. But at this cross, Christianity resembled a woman's movement. Of the 12 men Jesus made apostles, only one was faithful to the end. Four faithful women stood with this one man until the end. One of them was Mary, Jesus' mother. Her sister was also there. Mary Magdalene was another of the four, and with her was the wife of Cleopas. But today, we want to focus our attention on John. His face beneath the cross is the face of faithfulness. A study of John's presence at the cross will help us in the pursuit of faithfulness. Amen. My text for this message is coming from John chapter 19, verses 25 through 27. And it says, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then said he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home." Amen. Praise God. My title for this message is The Face of Faithfulness. John. Tonight my message is divided into three paragraphs. Number one, the extent of faithfulness. But first, let us pray. Amen. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for our families as they help us grow to be the people we have the potential to be, especially in times of grief and heartache. We turn to our families for comfort and strength. May we always remember that your love is what guides us through rocky times. We bring our gifts to you this evening in recognition that you first loved us and gave us your Son so that we might have abundant life. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. Again, the extent of faithfulness. Years after Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, John wrote a letter inspired by the risen Lord to the church in Smyrna. In the letter, the Lord admonishes that suffering church. He said in Revelation 21 and 10, "Be thou faithful unto death." John would know about this kind of faithfulness. This is the kind of faithfulness each of us needs. Faithfulness until death. The words could be understood to mean for all of your life. It was a call for faithfulness regardless of what life might bring. John had this kind of faithfulness. It is the kind that a couple promises to each other in their wedding ceremony until death do us part. It is interesting to ask a couple as they approach marriage, under what circumstances will you seek a divorce? Their answers are always revealing. Some confidently replied, "Under no circumstances." As a pastor, I like that response, but I also know they will be surprised by the difficulties that will test this commitment to faithfulness. Amen? The cross did not force John away from his commitment to Jesus. He intended to be faithful until the end of his life. Praise be to God. Faithfulness unto death. When the Lord admonishes Smyrna, this is probably what he meant. Faithfulness unto death meant faithfulness even at the expense of life. Scholars debate the extent of the danger facing John, but we can plainly see that the other apostles perceived danger at the cross. Anyone who has been an angry mob knows that with a mob on the loose, no one is safe. Jesus was on the cross because of such a mob movement. The danger to John must have been real. Yet he was ready to face even the possibility of death because of his desire to be faithful to the Lord. Even if it cost him his life, he would not run away. This is the quality of faithfulness that the Lord wants each of us. If our faithfulness has limitations, it is flawed. The inspiration for faithfulness. Why did John stand beneath the cross while the others hid in fear? If we know this, we will know the secret of faithfulness. Amen? Praise be to God. Not a sense of duty. Was it a sense of duty that compelled John to stand beneath the cross? We must admit that such a sense of duty helps us to be faithful in hard times. A sense of duty keeps a soldier in his place of danger. When others might flee, it keeps a son or daughter faithfully attending to the needs of aging parents. But the real secret of faithfulness goes much deeper than a sense of duty. Praise be to God. The love of Jesus. John gave a clue as to why he was there by the way he identified himself. He is the disciple whom Jesus loved. His presence at the cross was a response to that love. Jesus loved all of the apostles just as much as he loved John. But this man seemed to have a special capacity to receive that love. He had a special awareness of that love. He seemed to know better than the others that Jesus was bound to the cross by his love for them. If Jesus could die on a cross out of love, could not John stand by the cross through the ordeal? Gratitude and love compelled him to do it. This is the secret of Christian faithfulness. It will keep us faithful in our service. It will keep us faithful through all kinds of persecution. It will make survivors out of us. If we waver in our commitment, we need to be renewed by a refreshed awareness of how much we are loved by Jesus. Praise be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. The reward for faithfulness. John's faithfulness beautifully illustrates the rewards that faithfulness to Christ will bring. The approval of Christ. Jesus shows approval to John for his faithfulness. It must have been conveyed to him by a look from the cross. Can you imagine the difference in the look John must have received from that which Peter received in the moment of his denial? The look Peter received sent him into the night weeping and shame. But the look John received sent him home to take care of Jesus' mother. While John does not describe that look, I can imagine the look of gratitude Jesus must have conveyed to him. John, along with the women, was the one bright spot in a sea of darkness. Jesus promised, amen. Jesus promised that faithfulness to him will result in a final and blessed, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The trust of Christ. His trust is the greatest reward for faithfulness. John received this trust in Jesus' special request from the cross. As Jesus neared death, he thought of his mother, Mary, while she stood by the cross brokenhearted. Her firstborn son made provision for her needs. He said to her, "Woman, behold thy son." And then he said to John, "Behold thy mother." John reported in John 19:27, "From that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home, although Mary had other children." John was the one who cared for her until her death years later in the city of Ephesus. Jesus trusted John with a very special responsibility. Responsibility is primarily rewarded for faithfulness. In his parable of the talents, Jesus said in Matthew 25:23, "Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things." Could anything be greater than the Lord of glory trusting us with a special assignment? This kind of assignment is reserved for those who have proven themselves to be trustworthy through their faithfulness. Praise be to God. Thank you, Jesus. So here are some remarkable circumstances of Jesus' death, more fully related than before. Pilate would not gratify the chief priest by allowing the writing to be altered, which was doubtless owing to a secret power of God upon his heart. That this statement of our Lord's character and authority might continue. Many things done by the Roman soldiers were fulfillments of the prophecies of the Old Testament. All things therein written shall be fulfilled. Christ tenderly provided for his mother at his death. And sometimes when God removes one comfort from us, he raises up another for us. Where we look not for it, Christ's example teaches all men to honor their parents in life and death, to provide for their wants, and to promote their comfort by every means in their power. Especially observe the dying word wherewith Jesus breathed out his soul. "It is finished." That is the counsel of the Father concerning his suffering were now fulfilled. "It is finished." All the types and prophecies of the Old Testament, which pointed at the suffering of the Messiah, was accomplished. "It is finished." The ceremonial law is abolished. The substance is now come, and all the shadows are done away. it is finished. An end is made of transgression by bringing in an everlasting righteousness. His suffering were now finished, both those of his soul and those of his body. It is finished. The work of man's redemption and salvation is now completed. His life was not taken from him by force, but freely given up. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord God. And as I bring this message to a close, I just want to say, John's example of faithfulness is especially encouraging for those who are facing trials. Maybe you feel like you are in an extremely difficult place. What should you do? Be thou faithful unto death. Do it because of Jesus' love for you. You will find the rewards for such faithfulness to be more than enough. As you meditate on Jesus' love, take a place of faithfulness with John beneath the cross. Amen. I hope and pray that this message was a blessing to you as it is to me. Praise be to God. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is to repeat this prayer of faith after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and to do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you to the family of God. And the next thing that you have to do is to ask and pray to the Holy Spirit to guide you to a good Bible-based church to further your Christian walk with Christ. Amen. And my benediction for this message is coming from Jude 24 and 25, and it says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory, with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore." And let us all say, amen, amen, and amen. And I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to another episode or pray one for another. May God bless you and heaven smile upon you till we meet again tomorrow evening at 6 p.m. when I will come with our devotion, with our sweet hour of prayer, and at 7 p.m. our very own Associate Pastor Kathy Dubose from Led by God's Christian Ministry will come and bless our hearts with a word from the Lord. Amen. So God bless you, and may heaven smile upon you. And good night, everyone. We love you and thank you for tuning in to Pray One for Another.
sins. I repent for my sins, and I thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die for my sins. Jesus, I ask you to come into my life right now. Be my Lord, Savior, and friend. Let your Holy Spirit abide in me. Help me to follow you all the days of my life as your disciple. I thank you for forgiving me and receiving me right now. Any prodigal sons and daughters out there that would like to be rededicated, let us pray. God, I am sorry for my sins. I am sorry that I have strayed from you. I ask you for your forgiveness. I repent for my sins. I don't want to live like a prodigal son any longer, or a prodigal daughter. Renew, revive me as I once again follow you. I thank you, Lord.
Speaks of wisdom. You said, raise yourself and answer me. You said, did you lay the earth's foundation? You said, have you command of sky and sea? Lord, I have no I don't deserve your glorious love is more than enough. What words could I use to explain? Forever I trust in your glorious love. Your glorious love. Like thunder, you said, are you clothed in majesty? You said, all of this is for your glory. You said that the Lamb will cover me. Lord, I have no
Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.